Hello, Huskies. Welcome to episode 2 of season 3 of the My First Year Story podcast. I'm your host, Tommaso Scotti, and today I have Riley Scarrett, who is a senior graphic design major here at the University of Connecticut. Welcome to the pod, Riley.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the main reason I wanted to have you on today is the work that you're doing for your senior thesis, but I just want to get some background for the viewers on who you are, how you came to UConn. So why don't we start there?
Yeah, sure. So I transferred here to UConn at the end of my freshman year. I started here in 2020 during the pandemic. So I didn't officially have to be on campus at all until I was a junior in college. And that's when I started living up here. And pretty much that first semester, I met this girl in my art history class, and she had a brother that she had a band with, and she introduced me to him, and they started playing shows at their place all the time, and that sort of attracted some other bands to them, and that is sort of how I spend most of my free time.
Yeah, with music, and as a musician myself and someone who just like is always listening, live music is one of my favorite things to go to do. And UConn actually has a pretty lively music scene here. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so like I was saying, those two friends that I have, their band is actually called Soul Gyres, and they started playing with another band that has UConn students in it, Rock Gotti. And they were sort of the first to really like go for it in terms of throwing these shows at their houses. Which I don't know if that was a thing before they started doing it, but it was sort of the first thing to happen after the pandemic. And then after that, you know, I feel like more bands started cropping up. I think it sort of gave people the courage to sort of go for it themselves if they had been wanting to do it.
Yeah, start a band.
Yeah, and I think it sort of just had this snowball effect, and it's really, really been interesting seeing the kinds of people that the scene has been attracting.
Right, and it's weird because both of us came to UConn post-pandemic, so we do not really even know what it looked like before we got here. And so now, what is it, 3 years since 2020, we are starting to see people return back and be able to, I don't know, go to these house shows and have this happen. And how, so you got involved, you met Sky in art history and then got involved with Soul Gyres. And where has it gone from there with you? What else is your involvement?
So I was friends with them for about a year before I left to go to London. And when I was over there, that was sort of when the scene really grew into what it has now become, where it sort of had this explosion in the fall of 2022. And I wasn't there to be able to experience it with them. And it made me really sad. So the way that I sort of contributed to what was going on to make it at least feel for me like I was there was sort of doing these like graphics or just sort of finding these ways to include these people in the projects that I was doing.
Right, and that has always been really important to you. Background for the listeners, me and Riley are really good friends. We're actually classmates, so I know a lot about her, which makes for a great interview, I guess. So tell me a little bit more about your practice as a designer and how that overlaps with these musicians.
So I guess starting to talk about my process as a designer, I sort of have to talk about my practice as a person.
Sure.
And I feel like in the past couple of years, especially over the pandemic, I sort of grew to have such a deep appreciation and love for these different kinds of music and the ways that people express themselves. And I think that seeing how that manifests in music, even though it's a different art form than what design is, I think it sort of inspired me to experiment with my stuff more. And I think that that's a really good word to describe my process. It's all about like experimentation. And when I get hyperfixated on something, I need to like see it in as many iterations as possible.
Just run to it to the end.
Yeah.
And so this whole season is about creating spaces on at UConn. And so when the institution itself doesn't necessarily give space for its students, we have to sort of take that back into our own hands. So how have you seen these bands do that?
Well, also a little bit of background. I'm making a magazine that's about sort of what you're talking about here on the podcast,
yeah.
And just talking about creativity and like how more people are being persuaded to be more experimental with their art and show it off more. Like with music, I'm sort of talking about that through the lens of the scene. And when I'm interviewing the people that are in these bands for the magazine, a lot of them have actually been bringing up this point of like, again, like coming out of like that pandemic Zoom environment.
Yeah.
It sort of made people really think critically about like, okay, what are these spaces that we are actually now able to go and meet again?
Right.
And I think that one of the biggest spaces on campus are the bars. And I think that can become really problematic.
Kind of toxic sometimes.
Definitely, super toxic. And so what these bands have been doing is, that's not true. Soul Gyres is a band and they use their own house, or there will be other people like me that don't necessarily like do music themselves, but want to like support it in any way that they can. And they sort of give their house as that space,
right.
To sort of let what these students are passionate about, like let them display that for other people.
So, and just to give a little bit of background on this thesis project, this magazine you're working on, tell the listeners what you're doing.
So, The title of my entire exhibition is called The Underground, and I'm sort of making this magazine about how creativity isn't necessarily, it's really hard to confine it to a certain cliche or a certain subgenre of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of talking to these bands that are super creatively inclined in these spaces and with their bands. But the classes that they're taking are always the ones that are considered to be non-creative.
Right, STEM majors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny, like I'll just give like one example. I interviewed this girl, she's in King Bolete, that's her band. She plays clarinet, she's a chemical engineering major. Like,
yeah.
I think that's so cool, like the duality of people like that.
Well, and it is sort of the double-edged sword of college is when, yes, you are presented with so many opportunities, but when you are told to pick what you want to do, your range of activities can get very, very narrow.
Definitely.
And so I just wanted to harp back on a point when you're talking about the pandemic and coming into these spaces. After that, I was listening to a podcast and it was saying how everything in 2020 was a simulation, whether it was human interaction, comedy shows, people were performing concerts on Zoom. So we never realized, I guess, we didn't realize how good we had it until it was gone. And so I think the pandemic offered up this opportunity where we were able to come out of it and say, okay, what was working before and what do we miss and what do we want? And I think that's what these bands have done. They said, we need space to play and we want to make good music and we want people to come out. And one of your projects was Let Us Play. So would you walk us through that?
Yeah, sure. So that's another great thing that the scene is sort of bringing up is it's drawing not only musicians and people that have this deep appreciation for music, but also people that, you know, like to scrapbook in their free time or make collages,
right,
or paint or whatever. And one of those people is my really good friend, Allie. She makes these insane like collages and graffiti work. And when we were still in London, she made this collage from a show that she had gone to like a week prior. And it was a bunch of pictures of my friend Scott from Soul Gyres. The collage was basically talking about how the police keep shutting down these shows because,
yeah,
of whether it's noise complaints or parking, whatever. They keep coming and telling them that they can't play. And, you know, it's really, obviously, I can't speak from experience, but it must be really frustrating for people that are full-time college students. Some of them also, like, work jobs.
Yeah. Booked. People who are booked.
Yes. People that have a lot going on but are still setting aside hours at times, you know, to dedicate themselves to something.
For practice, rehearsal, you know, working towards these shows.
Yeah. And then, you know, you finally get to this point of this pinnacle of your of what you've been working on and you get shut down. So that was sort of what she was talking about in her collage. And it really struck me.
Yeah.
Because I have seen what it's like to be at a show and I know how unifying it can be. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I've recognized a lot of the pros of those situations. So to see it keep getting shut down is really like disheartening. So I made this graphic of my friend Scott from Soul Gyres. It was a picture that I had taken of him like a couple months prior of him playing his bass. And, you know, I edited it with some halftone and stuff. And I wrote out "Let Us Play." And I actually wrote it on a paper towel. And then I like image traced it. And then, you know, they were playing a show like the next day. So I posted it and I was like, this is what's been going on, and you know they have this show going on this weekend. Like, go see it. And it was sort of like a promotional thing that I wanted to do for them.
Well, and it's also I think it's hard for us. So both me and Riley were in London this past fall, not to be like I went abroad, blah blah blah, but to come back to be in a place where there's so much space, a lot of for creativity and room for it to happen, and respect for it to happen. To come back to UConn and to be at a show and for the opener to not even get through two songs and then being told to go home is so disappointing, whether you're a performer or you're a person there. And going back to what you just said about music being unifying, it is this universal language that does not pay attention to what you look like, what you're interested in, where you come from. It is one thing spoken by all of us that we feel in our body, in our souls, honestly. And I think that is that power that you're talking about.
Totally, yeah. I've been doing a lot of like supplemental readings for my project, and you know, like watching TED Talks and like stupid things like that. And it sort of has made me think about, okay, like what is this language of a bunch of college students that like went through this like crazy world event in like a very like critical time of their life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like heartbreak, you know, like racial injustice, economic injustice, things like that. And I'm like, well, that's what it's always been about.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that that's another aspect of it. It's like, it's just a great representation of like the human struggle. And
yeah, like, and it's a response. And like you said, music and art have always been tied to politics because art is inherently political. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that in my art history class this past week. But what we're seeing, I think, is a response to this feeling of restriction. And for that to be met with more restriction.
Yes.
It's not right.
Yeah, right.
So how do we solve this problem? Because if we can't play in the houses, right, and we can't play at UConn,
right,
what do we do? You don't have to have an answer for me.
Right, yeah. Obviously, you know, I feel like questions like that need to be decided by like a group of people rather than just, you know, one person being like, oh, I have this idea.
Sure.
But as someone who's, you know, thought a lot about it, I think that ultimately, I think that it needs to be something that is a communal effort. I think that it's the students have mm-hmm. more power than we realize. But it's just hard because we're so disconnected, which is ironic because we're as connected as we've ever been before.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, a lot of people have these feelings of like wanting these spaces or wanting new ways to meet people or express themselves or things like that. But they don't realize that other people are like also having those feelings. You know, it's like it can kind of be a little bit isolating. You don't necessarily realize.
Yeah. It's like we get in these echo chambers and yes. we are like, oh, we're the only ones that must feel this way. I mean, we talk about that feeling way back in season one when people get to college and they're like, oh my God, everyone is having a great time except for me. When yes. in reality, probably everyone's having a shit time. But it's weird because I feel like we came back from abroad and now we're sort of in this place of tension. And it's not just with the musicians. It's with students all across campus. I mean, there was just this big protest. Things aren't working here for us.
Right.
And UConn should serve its students as not only an institution for learning, but an institution to shape who we become as humans.
Right.
And I, as someone who in my practice and stuff is really now is interested in communities and how these larger communities that may not revolve on interest, but specifically geographically, how do we unite? How can we talk to each other more?
Yeah. I think that at least the way that I've seen that working in, you know, a creative lens is collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, there's been cases where I've seen people 5 times at least at a show.
Yeah.
Never said a word to them, but, you know, they're taking pictures and I'm, you know, making a magazine. So yeah. I'll be able to reach out to them on Instagram and be like, hey, I'm doing this. You're doing that. I really like what you're doing.
Yes.
We should make something cool.
Yeah. This interdiscipline.
Yes.
And I think that we need to help set ourselves up. And we talked about this a couple of months ago, but even just in the School of Fine Arts, feeling that disconnection from one concentration to the other, even though we all have the same major.
Yes.
And I think UConn has started to set up spaces for this. I mean, we have the Kornacki Institute that's supposed to be the bridge between engineers and the artists, and the Human Rights Center, the Dodd Center. It's supposed to be a spot where multiple disciplines can come together and collaborate on one project. But that's not happening.
Right.
And is it because we don't want it? Or is it because we don't have the information or the tools to get it? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's frustrating.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like a top down. I think that, you know, especially as someone who transferred here, you know, I was never given some sort of like formal induction as to like what this school is or what they have. And you tell me that we have a human rights building. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it's meant for. I don't know what we're supposed to do there. You know what I mean? And I'm sure I'm not alone in that.
Well, and even too, like as transfer students, you're not really set up for success either. Coming in with like having to swap credits and all that. Like it really sometimes feels like UConn is against you.
Yeah, totally.
And crap, I just lost my train of thought. I wanted to tell you. Whatever, it will come back to me. I remember what to say. I think the urge now is that we see that everybody's having these feelings. Nobody really knows what to do with them. And I think the answer is to make. I think regardless of what your major is, like you were saying, even if you're like, I'm not an artist or whatever, is to make things, write essays, make songs, make art, and get it out there because it is a tool of, it's a form of communication, it's a language, and it's one that, like we said earlier, is when we all speak.
Yeah, I think that coming to college, obviously everyone's situation is a little bit different, but for the majority, it's your first taste of that like autonomy, you know what I mean? Like, you get your own dorm room, you get to decide what you put on your walls, you know what I mean? Like, you get an apartment, you get to decide.
It's your place.
Right. And I think that even just, like, things like that, like, those are, like, where you're self-starting, where you're, like, initiating these things. Even that are, like, these small moments of what you wouldn't consider creativity to be.
Right.
But that's what it is. And I think that sort of, like, doing more things like that and pushing yourself to maybe make something new, that's really where that stuff starts.
Well, and allowing yourself to get rid of that pressure that people, because making art and stuff like this is a vulnerable position to be in because you really do put yourself on display to see.
Yes.
On display for everyone to see. And not everyone is comfortable with that.
Right.
And there's one thing to be said about being anonymous and be able to make things anonymously, but there is power to that connection to my name is Tommaso and this is what I want to say.
Well, another thing that sort of like ignites in other people is like a lot of what prevents people from making things in general is fear.
Yeah.
And if for someone to go out of their way and put themselves on the line, and they get a positive response from their peers, other people can see that and say, oh, it's okay for me to do that too. Yeah,
safety in numbers.
Yeah, totally.
Wrapping up this conversation now, I just want to think about, so you're a senior, you're leaving this spring. One thing that maybe is like a little bit narcissistic of me, but I always am thinking about legacy. Like, what am I leaving at this place? Am I leaving it better than I found it? I think this podcast is like one thing that I think about, that this will be here for a while. This is a resource for students to use. Now doing this project about and sort of learning a lot about these issues that are on campus and talking to the students and sort of getting out there, how do you leave this in a couple months? Like, how, I feel like you just are getting started.
That's a great question. And honestly, I've been thinking about a lot about that too, because I am so passionate about this. But I think that what's going on here, I don't think it's just UConn. Yeah. I think that this is something that is happening in a lot of other places. And I think that, I guess what I would most like to leave behind is just sort of like a little bit of like water to that seed here.
Yeah.
And then I can go and find a new seed to sort of like try and make something grow.
Totally. No, I think that is a great analogy, because you're one girl. Like, you can't do all the heavy lifting yourself. And I think that these outcomes that you're creating with your senior project are going to be left here to inspire and to teach, because the music scene is not going away, I don't think, about what it was like, sort of as like a time capsule, what it was like this post-pandemic time where we are finding our voice. And so I feel like in the next couple of years, things will get better. Yeah. Spaces will be made. I mean, and it's not just music. It's last week's interview about the swap shop. Mm-hmm. Students not being able to pay for things. It's not being able to find a gallery for students to promote their work, even though there's tons of retail space available downtown. So I think this, we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with projects like this. So I applaud you, and I hope this inspires other students to go out there and make things.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming up on the podcast.
Yeah, and thanks for having me.
As always, we'll Huskies.